What is Elgar's March number one, popularly known as?
It's the Pomp and Circumstance March number one. It was composed in 1901 and was very popular at its premiere. When it was first performed in London in October of 1901, the audience stood up and shouted, and the march had to be played two more times. So it was so popular that Elgar was encouraged to include it in a coronation ode he wrote for the coronation of King Edward VII the next year in 1902. And for this version, the English poet A.C. Benson wrote a patriotic text to fit the tune. And the result, which we know as Land of Hope and Glory, quickly became the unofficial national anthem of England. And in fact, in 2006, the BBC commissioned a survey, and 55% of the respondents favored Land of Hope and Glory over God Save the Queen as England's national anthem.
Edward Elgar, could you just put him in context? He was pretty renowned in his time.
Yes, he was. Yeah, he was England's most famous composer. He was the most famous composer until the time of Benjamin Britten.
When was this first heard in the United States?
The march was first performed for a graduation ceremony at Yale University in 1905, which was 4 years after it was composed. And it was performed under special circumstances. Samuel Stanford, who was a Yale music professor, was a close friend of Elgar's, and he arranged that year for Elgar to receive an honorary degree from Yale. And at the graduation ceremony, as part of honoring Elgar, a couple of sections of one of his oratorios were performed, and this popular Pomp and Circumstance March No. 1 was performed at the end of the ceremony, at the recessional, rather than at the beginning as the candidates filed in, which is what the tradition is today. So soon, other universities adopted it. Princeton in 1907, the University of Chicago in 1908, Columbia in 1913, Vassar in 1916, and Rutgers in 1918. And then by the 1920s, everybody was performing it at graduation.
It must have really, you know, struck a chord in some way.
Yes, but oddly enough, Yale hasn't used the Pomp and Circumstance March at its commencement since the 1950s, except in 2005, when they marked the 100th anniversary of the 1905 performance with Elgar there in attendance. I think it became too commonplace. And although a lot of universities use it, some use other marches that are distinguished and appropriate for the occasion. When I graduated from the University of Tennessee, the March for Marriage of Figaro was used, which was a very nice, stately, but somewhat lighter march than Pomp and Circumstance.
Anything else you found really interesting about this?
The Pomp and Circumstance of the title has nothing to do with graduation. It's a reference to warfare. The title comes from Act III of Shakespeare's Othello, where Othello bids farewell to his life as a warrior. He says goodbye to all quality, pride, pomp, and circumstance of glorious war. And also, it's really too bad the trio section is usually all that's heard of the march at graduation ceremonies, because the entire march is really a fine piece of music. And the opening provides a nice contrast to the popular trio. I think we've all been to graduation ceremonies where the trio is repeated over and over as the candidates file in. And by the third repetition, we're longing to hear something different. It's like listening to the chorus of a pop song without ever hearing the verse. It becomes a bit tiresome. So I find myself wishing that more universities would perform the whole march.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.